Make the right call for the right Medicare Advantage benefits. Go to MedMutual.com/review to schedule your free Medicare plan review with Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. For the first time in a minute, we are live on YouTube recapping the highs and lows from the debut of NXT on the CW live from the Allstate Arena in Chicago, Illinois. Welcome to a very special edition of The Wrap as we get you ready for Bad Blood going down live this Saturday from State Farm Arena in Atlanta, Georgia at a very early start time. And we're going to talk about that later on in the episode. But I'm Keela Cash. And joining me, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, the sometimes advocate for the rapidly improving Ms. Jada Parker from NXT. I bring to you live on YouTube, which is a rarity when he is perky. But he is perky tonight for reasons he will get into later. I bring to you the one, the only, the scout, Perky Scott Young. Welcome back, Perks.
Perks. Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. Oh, I can tell you this much. You've definitely set a record because I don't think you've ever made me laugh in the first 3 minutes of the show. So there's that. But the Perks is here to stay. I'm excited. I think it's going to be a good show. And yeah, I'm looking forward to the conversation, previewing a little Bad Blood, CW debut. A lot of black excellence. It's going to be a good night.
You know, it's very rare that I pop you less than 3 minutes into this episode. Perks just came out of nowhere. Maybe I was thinking about Perk Central from Friends, maybe, and it kind of popped in my head like, okay, Perky Perks. I like that. So we're going to stick with Perky Perks tonight on the show to get you set for NXT live on the CW. I have not watched the CW in a very long time, since probably Riverdale days when I gave up on the final season. I tapped out and said, enough is enough. I can't get through with this anymore. And ever since then, I've been kind of forgetting that the CW exists, but it still is a channel. It's now orange, no longer green. So here we are. We're on the CW. We'll see how the viewership numbers fare for NXT sometime tomorrow, because I'm very curious to see how it carries over on broadcast television versus cable. I know there's going to be a difference, but there is less homes for the CW versus your average broadcast network. We will see how the fans traveled for this new version of NXT on the CW. And speaking of new, we got new graphics, new theme music, which is full of that hip hop flair that some fans can't stand. But for those of you that doubt it, I guess WWE is for the culture after all.
Y'all know who they for. Y'all know who NXT specifically is for, but it is what it is. Well, we welcome everyone with open arms. And yeah, I love the new feel. It definitely fits right in with the CW vibe. I'm sure All-American Season 8 or All-American spinoff where they're at college, one of those two will be right behind it. Seinfeld was on today after, so I don't know if that's the crossover right there, but it was cool.
The crossover. Those days are over unless you're going to do like an All-American crossover for like the last season, perhaps. I don't know, but that's
the
best.
Can't be Kramer, I can tell you that.
Well, it won't.
It can't be Kramer.
It cannot be Kramer. It cannot be that. But we're going to get into the CW debut of NXT very shortly. But let's briefly talk about Monday Night Raw going down live on USA. The end of an era. For now, as this was our last 3-hour Monday Night Raw until at least January. And I hope when they make the move to Netflix, It will never be 3 hours again. And I am laughing at Scott, who's changed his name to Perky Perks Scott on the show. So I appreciate that. But let's talk about one of the highlights from the show, which was CM Punk and Drew McIntyre having their final promo before their Hell in a Cell match at Bad Blood. And we got the actual legit old school Hell in a Cell. It was not red. It was a traditional color. It was steel. It was big as always. And both guys basically read the other's eulogy for their match on Saturday night. And it's big brazen words about how you're not going to make it. You're going to go back to Scotland in a box. We don't believe that to be true, but I do expect this to be a bloody, violent affair. And I think this will be the best match in their series. And honestly speaking, this should be the end of the road officially, because we've kind of called it from the moment this feud started that it will all lead to Hell in a Cell. And they brought back Bad Blood. So let's just end it there on a good note.
Yeah, the promos were fine. Everything about the segment was fine. We talked about it last week. I'm just ready for the match, and the match should be good. I'm actually fully expecting Drew McIntyre to, regardless of what win, lose, or draw, I think he comes back as a babyface. Just the way he was kind of talking, like, I'm going to get every bit of hatred and angst I have in my body to use against you. It almost sounds like, you know, I'm only bad because of you. I'm only this way because of you. So I'm going to get all that out against you. When this ends, so does this little turn I'm in right now. This chapter of the book I'm in is over too. So I think not only are we going to get the end of this chapter, but I think we get the next chapter of Drew McIntyre as a little bit more of an edgy babyface.
I agree. You know, he's really found his footing as a heel this year, found his voice as a promo guy in WWE that can go toe-to-toe with the very best. He became a great social media troll as well, and I think he'll pivot to being a babyface very soon. There is some viable feuds he can work with on Monday Night Raw, as we'll get to later, but I liked it. It was a nice way to cap off what has been a fine feud. It's had its highs and lows in terms of in-ring content, but I think that it will peak in a good way inside Hell in a Cell at Bad Blood. I know there's a debate about whether or not this match should close the show. I honestly don't know. You have the Bloodline, you have Cody and Roman. That's a mega power situation there. And I don't think that Hell in a Cell is going to be the way to close the show because of the marquee draws with Roman and Cody alongside Solo and Jacob Fatu. It's just, I don't see how they're going to make that Hell in a Cell match the main event. If Roman was not on the card, very possible. But knowing that he is, Hell in a Cell could very well open the show on Saturday night.
Unless we're getting a big return, I think Hell in a Cell closes. I would take the bet on that. I'll take the Hell in a Cell closing it out. It's hard to have a pay-per-view named after the event that's been built up to and worthy of the Hell in a Cell and it not close. I think you have that tag match and you open the show with that, and that crowd is going to be electric when you open the show with that. And I think a Hell in a Cell is enough of a draw. CM Punk is enough of a draw. Drew McIntyre has proven himself to be a worthy adversary and can stand toe-to-toe in every aspect of the game with CM Punk. I like the Hell in a Cell to close, and I like that tag match to open just with all that energy, just Fatu and all that energy just coming out at the very beginning. I like that.
We shall see. I think that you can't go wrong with either option. So we'll see how it goes, how WWE decides to play it. Paul Levesque, you know, you got the 5-match special going down in the A. So we'll see what decision you make in terms of what closes and opens your PLE on Saturday. But let's talk about the champ of the moment, Jey Uso, the main event, as he is now the new Intercontinental Champion. And we got a slightly modified Intercontinental Championship belt with blue accents, like the throwback belt from way back when. And I must say, I like the change.
Yeah, it's like the old Intercontinental belt and the new one did a fusion dance, and we got this one right here. So it worked out pretty good. I think it looks good. I think it's just the amount of touch that you need. And hopefully it's something that that stays around. I like the blue. I hope it stays with it going forward. But yeah, and the title works with Jay. So this was a nice little touch right there.
Yes, I liked it too. And apparently they went to the war room and said, let's juice up the IC title a little bit. If they made it the old belt versus the new belt, they made a baby and they added blue to the belt. So I'm very happy about that. And we had a very diplomatic and humble Bron Breakker come out to congratulate Jay. And it seems like WWE's realized, hey, this guy is on the fast track towards WrestleMania main eventum. So let's pivot to him being a babyface and possibly challenging Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship. You see that ascension already. The tease has been laid out for possibly sometime next year. I'm here for that. Bron Breakker is the guy. We've been saying that for a very long time. And his run so far in the main roster has been impressive. There's still a lot for him to do and grow in that role, but he's a great promo already. And he's very good in the ring, and he's going to be greater with more experience. And what better way to test yourself than against Gunther for that championship down the road?
Yeah. Later on, we got the Gunther promo. We talked about Ilya and him being out. And I think Gunther's going to kind of fill that spot that Ilya was supposed to be in with him being injured with that torn ACL, I think it was. So this actually works really well. You know, the respect factor, the way the dogs have all been barking every time he comes out, he's getting louder reactions. And he's somebody that could put the fear in Gunther. He's somebody who's beaten Gunther. Like, there's a history there. So I think this will work really well. I think he's a nice pivot, and that'd be a big time spot for Bron Breakker as well.
I absolutely agree. I think that this is a big opportunity for him. Let's talk about the elephant in the room right now. Ilya Dragunov suffered an injury on the road for WWE this past weekend. He tore his ACL out for the next 6 to 9 months, a devastating knee injury. And he was seemingly finding his way on Monday Night Raw, possibly feuding with Judgment Day. And we knew like the long time goal was going to probably be him and Gunther fighting for that championship. That won't be until probably the summer of next year. I'm very bummed about that. But that does open the door for Bron Breakker to say, I got next. I think he is elevated in the Ilya's spot that he was supposed to have heading into the Rumble and ultimately WrestleMania season. But it's good for him to get that experience. He's already growing in this role. And I think he is destined to be a world champion sometime next year. I truly believe that.
Yeah. I mean, who knows with the Triple H trajectories? Because if you think it's going to be a year, then Triple H's timeline is probably like 3 years. But who knows? We'll see what happens. But yeah, I think the trajectory is right there. You know, Raw's got a lot of young prospects, and there's a lot of building blocks for the future. So, you know, you got a lot of options, and that's always a good thing.
Very much so. And the 3-year plan, that would be a choice. But we know Paul Levesque tends to stretch things out for years. He has a story to tell, and it will go in phases. Look at the Bloodline. We are currently in season 5 of this ever-long storyline that has many stories to be told with many chapters to unfold. So he knows how to stretch things out for years. Hopefully not for Braun to be like a champion in 2028, but we shall see about that. As we get to Xavier Woods cheating to beat Rey Mysterio, let's just go right to the chase. Fun match, cheated to get the W, and we saw Kofi and Xavier get into it backstage as well. So we still sense tension within the New Day as Kofi is trying to get a little IC title love against main event Jey Uso next week as well.
Yeah. Kofi gives his title shot to Xavier. So that, you know, it all works real well. Xavier does cheats, nice slow burn. At the same time, he didn't really cheat. He didn't do anything illegal. He kind of broke the forbidden rule, but he didn't do anything illegal. He didn't hold the tights. He didn't hold the ropes. I didn't see, you know, he didn't do anything wrong.
So you feign like he didn't cheat. You just say, you know, it was well within the rule book of him semi-cheating. It wasn't a full blow. He cheated.
Nah.
He cheated.
He didn't break one rule.
Yes, he did.
He broke a rule that's not a rule.
Listen. The rule was broken. I do not care. He cheated. Well,
He cheated. He didn't cheat. But I will say this. He broke the forbidden rule. But as far as cheating, he didn't do nothing wrong. He wanted to be the former world champion, did what he had to do.
Yeah. That's all we can say about it. But you're still wrong. He cheated. Period.
Now he cheated in the Latin when he cheated in the Kofi match. That was him cheating. And it backfired.
Child. I will not debate you. He cheated. There's that. And speaking of cheaters, people who get away with stuff, let's talk about your boy, The Miz, who actually did what he needed to do this past Monday on Raw, as I predicted he would do, as Scott drops his trusty blue marker. I got him fidgeting a little bit because he don't know what I'm going to say about his boy. But he, in fact, booted R-Truth in the face. He said, sayonara, sucker, and he left him to get beat up at the AOP, and I was very happy about that because Miz has been visibly frustrated, rightfully so, for months over R-Truth screwing every opportunity up as they try to defend their tag team title, skating by until the Judgment Day snuffed them out a few months ago, and now The Miz has hit his limit after R-Truth sicked Big Bronson Reed on him a couple of months ago, and he said, nope, no, I remember, and therefore R-Truth ate it last night.
Yeah, it's just a little undercard feud. Won't mean anything. Another turn. Michael probably just hosts a bunch of Miz TVs. R-Truth won't be on TV. They'll have a match. Nothing will come out of this. It'll be forgotten in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. But for one night, you should be happy that The Miz stood up for himself and did the right thing for himself.
Yeah. I mean, R-Truth still doesn't think he did it on purpose. So he said in an interview that he thought it was an accident because he got confused. God. So it's all good. We got at least another 2-3 weeks of Mike having to literally just beat this guy up until he's like, yo, I don't like you.
He's a dummy.
And then John Cena is going to come back, and that'll probably be like John's first match back, is a nice, easy victory over The Miz, saving R-Truth.
Okay. You know what? I am kind of amazed at the fact that you're so reserved regarding The Miz. Like, look at you being diplomatic. Like, normally you would take this opportunity to gloat and brag about The Miz being your guy, but you're remarkably calm. I'm impressed.
You know, there's not much left that he can do.
Wow.
You know, he's done it all. Twice. And I just, at this point in time, you know, he's trying to give TV time to his friends, and I'm not mad at it. So you know, if John Cena can get the rub, R-Truth can get the rub, then I think Miz is doing his job.
I agree. Look at you being so nice about this. Even though you said he did everything twice. Couldn't help yourself at the end. Whatever. Boo.
Most people don't even get to go around the world once. This dude ran around the world twice.
Yes, he did. He ran it back twice all over, and I'm still offended by that. How do you become a 2-time Grand Slam champion? That is a rare feat in WWE, but he did it. So good for Michael. And we'll move on now to discuss the last monster standing match between Braun Strowman and Big Bronson Reed. Braun Strowman, my guy, was hurting. He was hobbling. He was struggling, but he was fighting. He was slow. He was in slow motion, but he was moving. Bronson Reed is Bronson Reed. He's going to do what he's going to do. He's going to deliver, smash you, splash you, throw you through tables and whatnot. I loved the physicality. I love the action mostly, but Braun, I have to say, he was fighting hard. Like, his knees were shot. You can tell he was going through it. He was playing hurt. He was fighting hurt, but he made it through. We had some great spots throughout this match, including him and his shot knees going off the top rope, taking out security and Bronson Reed on the outside. And then as both guys went for a superplex, they broke the ring as we expected they would do at some point. Good for them. And then as both guys were fighting to get up before the count of 10, from out of nowhere, his return, Seth freaking Rollins, fresh from a Chicago Bears victory the day before, stumps out Big Bronson Reed on the steel steps, enables Braun Strowman to get up to beat the 10 count to win the last Monster Standing match. Great finish to Monday Night Raw. I thought it was a great return for Seth Rollins, and he and Bronson Reed can now go at it toe-to-toe, and we'll see how this push for Bronson Reed goes now because Seth is back, and you become a big deal because you splashed that guy 5 times with the tsunami. Will it result in a feud victory for you? I don't know, but it has built you up to be a monster that can be taken seriously in this feud with Rollins whenever it jumps off imminently.
The match was great. I thought Braun Strowman, I actually like to see him and Tyrus have a foot race. I think that would be a really close one. He's also giving Tanahashi a run for the worst knees in the business right now. But besides that, I thought he looked great. And the Death Valley driver off the stage, that was a nice little touch as well. Like, and I said this last week, Braun Strowman works really well with big men. Like he puts on consistently good matches with no matter what big man you put in front of him. And Bronson Reed is a great worker too, but Omos, like he had a good match with Omos. It doesn't matter. Kane, Big Show, like all these big guys that you put in front of him, he can have a good match with. I honestly want him to go down and have a match with Oba. Like, there's a lot of people that I like. He just knows how to play his role, even if it's in slow motion and we slowing it down. He knows how to play his role and make it effective. Rollins came back. Bronson Reed is not going to beat Seth Rollins, but he's going to have a nice showing. He's going to get a nice. Let me not say that. I was going to say he's going to get a Survivor Series match. That might be pushing it a little too much, but he will get a prominent Raw main event. Maybe a Survivor Series. I'd love to see a traditional Survivor Series match come back, and I think this would be a perfect opportunity to do something like that. You could do a Team Punk versus Team Rollins, or you know, however you want to do it. Team Aldis versus Team Pierce for the number 30 spot in the Rumble. There's a lot of different things you can do, but no, Bronson Reed will not be beating Seth Rollins.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I just feel as if it's a great opportunity for him to get some shine. It'll be a fun match, even fun mini feud, but I don't foresee Bronson Reed winning at the end of the day. All I can hope for is that he bounces back with a good feud and some more wins heading into the end of the year. But Seth will get the W back, build him back up heading into the end of the year for the Royal Rumble WrestleMania season. We still think the pathway is Rollins versus Punk. Will it be for a championship? We don't know yet, but it's definitely laying that foundation, because we cannot forget that it was going to be Punk and Seth going at it until Bronson Reed came out there to attack Seth. So we're going to see where it goes heading towards the latter portion of the fall, heading into the winter for WWE. And that was basically it for Monday Night Raw, a solid show per the usual by them. The final 3-hour Raw of this era. For now, we're going to go back 2 hours, strict 8 to 10 starting this week. And Scott, your thoughts on bidding adieu for now to a 3-hour episode of Monday Night Raw?
I think we'll get a tighter show. I don't think we're going to get any long form matches anymore. I think that'll be cut out. I think we're going to get a lot of backstage segments cut out. And unfortunately, I think we're going to see some women's segments cut. So like I was talking about, another like Miz and R-Truth, you won't be seeing them on a 2-hour show. I can go ahead and tell you that right now. Casey and JoJo, they probably not showing up on a 2-hour show. Even though Casey had a lot of energy when she showed up on Monday, but they probably not. Like, those are just the teams and the wrestlers that are just probably not going to get time every week on a 2-hour show. You're going to see them once every 3 weeks.
Yeah, I get that feeling too. That is going to be the test to rotate stars in and out for Monday Night Raw. Like, for a long time, this was a slog to get through regarding that 3rd hour. And I think Triple H in the last year or so figured out, like, it doesn't have to be a bore. We can actually make this 3rd hour mean something, fill out the show, make every hour count. And now you're going to be losing that hour. And I think some fans kind of is going to miss it for a bit, because it's like, wow, you really managed to make these 3 hours matter versus what we're going to get soon. We're going to have some people not get as much airtime. There's going to be some rotation of storylines. You might be on every other week versus what you was getting every week. And it's going to be a test. We're going to see how Paul handles things. We know he does it for SmackDown every Friday. We're going to see what he does on Monday Night Raw with one less hour starting this Monday. And I'm happy about it. I get to go to bed a little bit earlier. You know, I get to recharge, watch the rest of Monday Night Football. So, hey.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And we can go ahead and put out about a 30-minute block next week for the championship match. So that's 30 gone.
Yeah.
And then we can go ahead and mark out about the first 20 for whoever wins the Hell in a Cell match. So that's 20, and then we can do about 10 minutes for Seth Rollins' return next week. So just looking at that, that's an hour of actual what we're going to see. We got about 30 minutes of commercials. So you got about 30 minutes, give or take, to fit everybody else in. It's going to be tight. It's going to be hard. And this is where video packages, being able to cut promos, squash matches, you know, where you're just going in there, running through somebody. Like, this would be a good opportunity for Chitty Chitty Bang Bang Crew to go and get a nice squash match.
First of all, pause. Tight and hard. That combination from said. You. No, that's what you said. Well. And I let it marinate for a second. And I'm like, what? That is crazy.
That was wild.
I let you roll with it. I let you vibe with it.
You let me cook, but you should have paused me, because that meat in there was cooking heavy.
I was trying to, but you was like, hey, I got it. And I let you roll with it. But Kevin says, don't worry. Getting the 3 hours back for Netflix. You are right, sir. And you are also correct that SmackDown might be going 3 hours on USA because they need that third hour. USA knows where the money resides. You know, you paid a lot of money for SmackDown. Now, you're asking a lot to watch wrestling for 3 hours every Friday night. Okay, choices, but it's all about the money, and they're not losing a third hour ultimately. And I think they're losing that hour with Monday Night Raw because of what you're paying WWE. Like, we're not paying you enough money to justify a third hour. And maybe we need to give us a lead in for 10 sharp. It won't be Chucky because that got canceled, but hey, they're going to find something to squeeze in there at 10 o'clock PM Eastern. But I do want to touch on something else on SmackDown this past Friday. It was match 6 between Carmelo Hayes and Andrade. I thought this was probably my second favorite match in their series. I loved it until the finish, which was some bullshit when LA Knight came out there to get that receipt on Carmelo, which made sense in the moment. And that made Andrade very upset, because how dare you jump into my moment trying to get my victory in this thing at 4-2, let's be fair. And ultimately, what happened was Melo rode him up, got the W. So there will be a 7th match in this series. I do like the tension between LA Knight and Andrade, because LA Knight this week was trying to offer the handshake to Andrade after snubbing him last week. And Andrade says, after what you did to me, F your handshake. And he walks away. So I do like that there is going to be possibly maybe a triple threat surrounding the U.S. championship between LA Knight, Carmelo, and Andrade when it's all said and done. And I'm here for it, because they've been building tension between all three guys for the last few weeks, if not months, especially when it came to Carmelo going at it with LA Knight when they first got drafted to SmackDown.
Yeah, that was a good match. The 7th match should be good. And whenever we do get the triple threat, that'll be good as well.
I agree. And let's talk about Kevin Owens ever so briefly, because he is not happy that Cody has aligned with Roman Reigns to take on the Bloodline, Jacob Fatu and Solo Sikoa at Bad Blood in Atlanta. He has not yet verbally expressed how he feels. He's been interrupted for the last few weeks, and Randy Orton, who we've been thinking about lately, who could be turning heel soon, was telling Cody on the low, despite what Kevin is telling you about not needing help, we need the help. So if you're able to help us during this main event with Solo and Jacob, we really appreciate it. I would really appreciate it. So during this match, the babyfaces are cooking. They're about to win. Technically, Kevin has the match won, and Cody comes out to try to make the save, fight off the bloodline, and he accidentally runs underneath the referee, and that allows Solo to pick up the very tawdry, cheap victory. After the match is over, Kevin is frustrated, shoves Cody, and Randy tries to be the mediator, and all I can say is, swerve alert, it will not be Kevin turning, it will be Randy Orton.
Yeah, this is a decent story. We'll see where it goes. Not a lot of juice to it when you're not including the bloodline. So we'll see if that changes in the next few weeks.
I agree. We shall see. But do you think that Kevin and or Randy is going to do the thing?
Not anytime soon. If it does happen, I don't think it happens until Royal Rumble at the earliest.
Possibly, or maybe after WrestleMania, if you want to push it that long.
Well, it'll be before WrestleMania, but it won't be before 2025.
Well, listen, Paul Levesque says, I tell stories. And in order to tell that story, I have to get Cody past the Rock first. And in order to do that, I have to wait to turn Randy or Kevin until the spring of 2025.
That could be true, too. That could be true, too.
Yes, you don't want to do too many things at one time because you don't want to burn through the feud if you got some legs for it for next year if they're planning ahead. So we'll see what they shall do. But without further ado, let's dive into the last part. Oh, honorable mention before I move on. Bayley and Naomi had a very good match, and Bayley won, and she will face Nia Jax for the women's championship at Bad Blood in Atlanta, the fifth match on the card. Really enjoyed the match. Bayley and Naomi have good chemistry. I enjoyed the match much better than the tag match they had the week before. Nice start to SmackDown. Nice crowd in Oklahoma City as well. Just wanted to, you know, shout them out.
Yeah, good match.
Yes. All right. Now it's time to talk about the main reason why we're here today. And that is the debut of the CW on, well, the debut of NXT on the CW. And it was a fun show. Scott, your thoughts on the new look, the new black logo, the new sleek graphics for NXT?
I think it fits CW. I think it everything about it works. They are no longer the black and gold. They are just the black. They said, you want to say, we don't like black people. Our whole emblem's black now.
oh, my God.
But it's cool. It's a nice sleek look. It's different, it stands out, and it represents a whole new era, so it's cool.
Yes, I agree. I like the graphics, very sleek. They didn't do too much to it. Better than Water Splash Colors this time 3 years ago when we went Nickelodeon for the NXT 2.0 era. Can you imagine the eras we've been through in the last 3 years, from the splash of paint to we're going back to our traditional colors a year later to now we're black. So let's go. Yay. So we kick off the show with Shawn Michaels coming out to introduce new NXT championship belts for the men and women. They're black and they're silver. I like it. Simple. Kind of a throwback to what those original belts were way back when. So I'm here for that. Triple H comes out as well to get the crowd hyped. And he actually showed a bit of restraint by not doing an introduction for himself.
I thought the intro was pretty clever with Shawn Michaels coming out there and then Triple H walking up. And, you know, people can have whatever feelings they want about Triple H and all that stuff. Every time he comes out there, the crowd goes nuts. And then when he came out as a little surprise for Shawn, they went nuts. They went crazy. It was cool. It was a nice little welcome moment to the era. So I would have been cool if I told you, I think he should do it every time. Just to make everybody mad, because I know everybody's like, why does he do that? I do it every time. But this was cool. This was fun.
You know, every time there's a new era in WWE, whether it's a new show debuting on a new network or whether it's a big PLE, Triple H is going to come out for the pop, for the glory, for the love. And it's overwhelmingly well received. Now, the internet is a different story. We're going to talk about that next week. We're going to unpack a lot of stuff that has been going online. I have thoughts. Scott has many thoughts, and I'm going to let him go off accordingly. But we got to keep a tight, compact schedule to get through this NXT review, followed by a preview for Bad Blood. So let's get to the NXT Women's Championship match between Julia and the champion, Roxanne Perez. Highly anticipated bout. And we kind of figured, well, if there's going to be opening the show, I don't expect the title change. And the match was good. The crowd heat was there. And Julia is finding her way nicely through the WWE system of things. I loved the action throughout. The commercials were kind of herky-jerky for me. But overall, the action was good. And we got Roxanne hitting Pop Rocks on Julia. But Julia rose out of the ring. And she avoids the cover. But someone in a hood comes out. Hoodie, no less. Comes through, spikes Julia. Great sell job by her. And then Roxanne Perez is simply going to hit her finisher for the 1-2-3. And who is the person that went after Julia? I thought it was maybe Stephanie Vaquer, but no, it was actually the returning Cora Jade from her ACL injury. So good for her. She's back. And we know that at one point, Cora Jade and Roxanne was besties that turned into enemies who are now apparently besties again.
This actually does make sense because Cora is the type that would be completely upset that somebody would want to come in and take all the shine away and nobody's talking about her anymore. So this was fine. I thought the match was great. I thought the grappling that they were doing, the exchanges, I thought this was the first time Roxanne had somebody that could keep up with her and maybe was even had a little bit faster pace than her. And I loved it. And Roxanne was matching her. I thought this was a great match. The finish wasn't what everybody wanted. This is classic Triple H, Shawn Michaels. We're going to make you wait. We're going to milk this. But I loved the match. I thought the grappling and everything that they were doing in between was great. I thought this was a great debut for Julia. And I thought the crowd being so invested in her and you just hearing the deflation of her not winning, I think it's going to set it up great. And now when Stephanie comes in, you can have some tag matches. You can have this dream team, so quote unquote, going after Cora and Roxanne. This opens up a lot of doors, a lot of windows. And now you can have Kalani keep that title warm for somebody for another little monster that'll be coming soon.
Not a little monster.
You're right. She's a big monster coming soon. You're right. She's yes. A big problem. You're right.
Yes, she's a big problem. We saw the vignette. She coming. We ready. It's been teased for a minute, but we ready for it. No doubt about it. If you know, you know. So I like the match as well. Love the grappling. Love the submission reversals of it all. Very silky smooth for both ladies. Julia's time will come. Now, Kevin, he tried it. I love you, but you tried it. He says, I'm glad Roxanne Perez retained her championship because Julia needs to wait months or years to win NXT titles like Asuka, Kairi Sane, Io Sky. And then my guy, Salty Scott, who's come through, says, years though. Must it be years?
I just think years. I mean, we're talking at least 24 months. That's a long time. You know, it's a long time to be telling somebody they got to wait. I'm pretty sure Asuka didn't have to wait 24 months to win her title. Okay.
No.
I'm cool with her waiting. Don't get it twisted. I don't have a problem with her taking this L and the way it happened and you introduce another top heel. I'm cool with that. I'm just, years is a stretch. You know, I don't need my youngest son to be going to kindergarten when Julia wins her first title in NXT.
Wow.
All right. The tribal chief don't need to be going to kindergarten when she gets her first bit of gold.
No, that is wild. So I need Julia to win probably no later than maybe the first PLE for NXT for 2025. maybe something for Warrior Rumble weekend or Vengeance Day, something of that ilk needs to happen. I just don't foresee her not winning a championship in NXT before Stand and Deliver. I think we'll get there sooner than that. Or we might wait until WrestleMania weekend in Vegas.
Or should Stand and Deliver be her versus Stephanie? You know, should you be building those two titans up? You know, very similar to what you're doing with Jade and Bianca, just on an accelerated path. Have them team up, then have them just kind of blitzing everybody on their paths, and then they end up just running into each other. But with the booking that we have, it's not like they have a ton of top-tier females that they can throw around. I mean, you're going to get a good match out of Sol Ruka. Fallon Henley can have a good match. JC Jane will probably get a match. But this is the top. This is the cream of the crop right here. So you might be right as far as them stretching it to WrestleMania, because they could do that. Roxanne just doesn't have the challengers. So I think she does get it before Stand and Deliver. And then maybe you build to her and Stephanie.
Strong possibility. We saw Jordan Grace, so we know that's coming. It's coming.
That's
it's a good coming.
Point too. That's it's a good coming. Point too.
I mean, they got the vignette ready. Like, they that's got the direction set, and like, we know she's coming. So that's going to be a problem. That division is going to be a problem next year in a good way. And Roxanne Perez, her swan song is coming, I believe. But I think even now with Cora Jade in the mix, I think they're going to find their footing as terrible people as a unit. And I'm here for that. And I'm glad the Cora is back. She's healthy once again. I hope that she stays healthy, because she just got back at Deadline last year, got re-injured weeks later. So I'm hoping this works, because I do like the idea of Cora and Roxanne having this alliance as besties. They do have that legit friendship vibe, and I think they will play well off each other. I do believe that, because I want Cora to find her voice. That's been a bit lacking for me during her initial run in NXT. I think with her and Roxanne working together, and Roxanne also finding her voice as a heel, it'll work.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting combination. Good foils for the new incoming beast we got for NXT.
Yes, looking forward to that as well as we get to our next match, which was a street fight between Wesley and Zachary Wentz. This was a very fun street fight. We had trash cans, chains, chairs galore. Both guys took bumps through things. The former friends going at it, and Wesley doing a meteora with the chain wrapped around his knees to Zachary Wentz for the 1-2-3. I really like the physicality of this match. They didn't do anything too wild and crazy, but I do sense there's going to be a third match, as we predict, at Halloween Havoc via spin the wheel, make the deal.
A little thing, I like the way they went to a commercial, and as soon as they come back from a commercial, you got Wentz on the top rope doing a coast to coast. I thought that was just a great way to come back into it. Great timing right there. This is a really fun match. It's probably, it might have been technically the best match, but it might have been my third favorite match, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. It was really good. It's still something that they're just missing a little bit from these two. I don't know what it is. Maybe my expectations are way too high for what these two can do, just from what I've seen them do as a team. But I just thought there was another gear they could have hit. But this was great. They put the bodies on the line, and I thought this was another fantastic addition. And this sets up a top challenger for what happened later on in the show.
Yes, very true. And, you know, I think about it this way when you mentioned something being a little bit missing, in that we talked earlier about bestie chemistry. We saw that with Naomi and Bayley on SmackDown, had a really good match. We saw that with Bayley and Sasha Banks via their various matches on NXT. And there is something about being best friends and having that natural organic chemistry. But maybe there is maybe some hesitancy with these two in terms of letting loose and fully going at it and just going there. We see this with brothers in wrestling sometimes, that they just don't click in terms of chemistry unless you're the Harts, unless you're Owen and Brett. You're going to always hit every time. The Hardys ran into that barrier at 1.2 until their series of final deletions on TNA. But I do think there is something holding them back from truly reaching that next level. And I think they will do that via the third match, hopefully, because this is your third go around here. Let's see what you can do. I just need a bit more. Push each other. Iron sharpens iron. Just go there and see what happens. Even Becky and Charlotte, when they were besties, they always brought out the best in each other. I do want to see that for Zachary and Wesley, because we know they can go. They're exceptional wrestlers. So I just want to see them push themselves as besties and enemies and see where it takes them.
Yeah, there's probably a lot to that. That's probably a really good point.
All right, let's get to your boy who was in Chicago, Miz TV, and he had the guests that will be vying for the NXT North America Championship next week. It was Obafemi and the Don of NXT, Tony D'Angelo. And Obafemi was very proud of having Tony D shooketh the last few weeks. He basically made the man give up on a match against Hammerstone, had to go on that rocky journey, as you alluded to as well. And now both guys are going at it once again for the North American Championship. So I think that Tony D'Angelo gets the dub.
I'm going to tell you what I think. I think that this was just a whole bunch of movie cliches. First, we started with Tony D, who said, "You're just the man, 300, Leonidas." Then Obafemi said, "I'm inevitable, Avengers Infinity War." Like, what are we doing, guys? Are we just taking the best lines from movies and just throwing them in there? I didn't like this. I didn't. There was a point where Tony D really got the crowd with him when he started talking about being from the streets of Chicago, having family out here, immediate, close family, not close family, but they're everywhere. I got family everywhere. And they're in this whole room is when the crowd started getting fired up. Then they just started trading these cliches back and forth. Like, I didn't like it. I thought Tony D showed good fire at one point, but like nothing they said was bad. I just didn't like the segment. It did nothing for me.
It was there. It existed. Every 80s cliche you wanted was there for the taking. Every sports hero comeback story cliche was there for us to sample on. And I was unmoved. I still sense title change next week in St. Louis for some reason, because Obafemi, I think by this time, will break the record for being the longest reigning North American champion. The record will be broken. There's nothing else to do there. Move him on up. If you want to be in the contender spot for the NXT title, you can do that. So that is why I'm kind of foreseeing a victory for Tony D next Tuesday on NXT Part 2, going live on the CW from St. Louis, Missouri. As we get to our next match, which was a tag team match involving Fatal Influences, JC Jane and Fallon Henley versus Lola Vice and your girl, Miss Parker, Miss Jada Parker, and Miss Jada and Lola don't see eye to eye. They don't get along. They can't have each other's backs. And we had some miscommunications, some miscues here and there. And ultimately, Miss Jada says, "Listen, you know what? You bumped me off this apron with your ass and your hips. And I'm like, I'm out. Strike two, bump a strike three. I'm out of here." She leaves the scene, leaves Lola Vice out there all by her lonesome, gets beat up by the heels, gets the L, courtesy of Fatal Influence. And then after the match is over, we got Kalani Jordan trying to provide the assist as the beatdown commences, and we get the cameo that was advertised. It was Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill, the reigning defending WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, coming out to make the save. Crowd goes crazy, and we will get a six-woman tag team match, Fatal Influence versus the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and the Women's North America Champion, Kalani Jordan.
Yeah, we got Black and Gold versus the Fatal Influence, and I'm here for it. I thought Kalani, when she was standing next to them, she didn't look out of place, and that's a huge, huge statement for her. Bianca and Jade come off as top tier stars. The way the camera was panning and the crowd reaction, it was great. I mean, this is the match was fine. JC Jane's fine. Fallon Henley's really good. And I think Jada Parker, I know Lola Vice is the one that they're really pushing as the baby face, but I think Jada's got a lot of baby face in her. The crowd wants to bop with her. When she starts hitting her little bop down the ramp, they start, You could tell they want to bop with her. But I think those two, you talk about putting two singles people together, those two are a tandem I would put together and maybe go after some of those tag titles.
I like that as a possibility. I like that. I like that a lot. I would love to see if they can get along. Hopefully.
That's what they need to maybe have like a best of three. No seven. We don't need to see them wrestle each other seven times. But they can have a nice quick best of three, or just like, you know, a real physical match, and it ends in a double count out. And Sean's like, you know what? You two are just gonna team up from here on out until you figure it out, or y'all gonna go after the tag title, something like that. And I think those two could do really well as a unit.
I believe so too. They have been teasing it and they just won't get along because they got beef. But I think they will work their way through this. Now, look at you trying to manifest what I wanted for Melo and Andrade, which most likely will not be happening.
Nah,
but hey, listen, the beef is beefing with them. You know, they be doing some like drive-by backstage brawls. They be getting into it like, nah, they're going to work it out. But Jada and Lola, they can work through their issues. They can work through it via a best of three series on NXT, maybe best of five if Sean wants to push it.
The Dusty Cup.
Ooh.
The Dusty Cup.
Yes.
That's it right there. The Dusty Cup. Have them win the Dusty Cup.
Yes. Unlikely partners, Sean and Ava draw up the brackets and they say, y'all partners now. Let's see what y'all going to do with it.
Actually, never mind. Because Julia and Stephanie are going to win the Dusty.
Yeah, you right.
Those two are going to win the Dusty, and they're probably going to beat Roxanne and Cora in the final. But Cora and Roxanne, but I think Jada and Lola should still be in it and have a good showing.
Yes, and they will bond as a team, and they will find that mutual respect and love for each other. So it works out, you know. It worked for Baron Corbin and Samoa Joe way back when, did it not?
It did.
It did. I love them as a tag team.
You know what? It's worked for Baron Corbin coming out of the Dusty's worked out pretty well for him.
Yes. Look, him and Braun, wolf dogs for life, sniff. But hey, it worked out great for him. He's like a little cool tag team specialist who's found like a second leash on life in WWE. So it could work for Lola and Jada as well. All right.
Bring that man back to NXT.
Actually, yeah, why not? He's not doing anything on the main roster. Listen, even though he and Apollo do work well together too, bring back Baron to NXT. Bring him back.
Apollo too. Bring Apollo too.
Yeah, they're a fun tag team, even though I do want Baron and Braun to reunite at some point. I know it's not going to happen.
That'll never happen.
Never say never.
Never again. That will never happen again. That will. The last time you saw that is when you saw the paint splash. You will never see those two.
Not the paint
splash. Give
each splash.
Other a hot tag again.
Oh no! You know what? I'm going to keep you in mind when it happens in a year.
Okay. You know what? I'll take that back. You're going to get about 15 seconds of it in the Royal Rumble, and then Braun's going to throw him out and be like, my bad. Sorry, dude.
Probably right.
One of the two.
Yeah, you're probably right. Okay. I'll take it. It's a reunion, damn it.
That would be cool. They'll do their finisher, you know, where they did the end of days into the spear, and they'll high five, and Corbin will turn like this, and then Braun will spear him and throw him out.
Yes. And then he says, sorry, bud. Love you. Yeah. Peace out. It's all about me. Got to win this thing. Got a headline WrestleMania. Try to at least. As we now get to our main event, which is Trick Williams versus All Ego Ethan Page. Oh, did I miss something?
That, yeah. Well, just the Evans thing. Yes. The Evans promo. And I just want to throw this out there. Call me crazy, man. Evans might do it.
He might beat Randy Orton, you say?
I'm a betting man. Evans might do it. The way Orton was talking about, I was given opportunities and I was able to take advantage of him. Maybe this is the night that kid can do the same thing. It wouldn't hurt him. It would do nothing to him. The crowd would lose their mind. I think Evans beats him next week.
We're going to come back to this next Tuesday. We're going to reconvene. Now, we have to remember Shawn Michaels does book NXT. And we do remember who one of his very good friends is, 123 Kid, Sean Waltman. He knows how to book an upset victory just in case. Very possible, but I don't think that Javon walks away without taking a spectacular RKO.
For sure. For sure. 100% he's taking that RKO. I just think he might roll out of the ring after he takes it.
Well, I hope he flies out, because that's going to require him to take it and then leap out of the ring due to the bounciness of it all. Because that's the only way he's going to avoid getting covered, because otherwise he's done. No one kicks out of the RKO.
Oh, he's not kicking out. No.
He has to levitate and get out of the ring, basically, in order to win this match.
So, unless Orton gives him the RKO on the table on the outside.
Oh, Lord, possibly.
I could see him. He could jump from the ring to the announce table and Orton catches him on the announce table.
Yeah, that's very doable.
That's a doable RKO that's never been done.
And Randy's all about creativity. So we'll see.
That's what he said in the video. But that's the only reason I wanted to bring that up, because I just wanted to throw that out there, that I'm calling my shot. I think Evans beats Randy Orton next week.
A brazen, bold prediction. Another prediction by Undisputed Truth. Look at you holding on to your team, Undisputed Truth. So imagine if Sonya Deville tell Lola Vice to square up. Both of them have MMA training and fighting skills. How y'all think that'll play out? I think because they're both shooters, it'll be a good match. Now, if they do NXT Underground, I need the lights on, cut the bullshit, and let them grapple. If they let them do that, it'll be a great battle. No doubt.
I think Lola gives her the hands.
Yeah.
I think Lola gives her the hands, but then Sonya's like, oh yeah, hey, go get her big sis and six her vampire sister Shayna Baszler on her.
You know, we choose to not remember vampire Shayna for the 3 weeks she existed. So yeah. Yeah, she took a chunk out of Becky's neck and we don't know why, still, like a rabbit dog, but hey. That happened on WWE television. Those are my first viral tweets when I was doing that. Fun times. All right, let's talk about the main event of NXT, which was Trick Williams versus All Ego Ethan Page for the NXT Championship in the main event spot. CM Punk being the extra special guest referee. Crowd was hyped for Trick. They love singing his theme song. He was so over in the shy. And All Ego Ethan Page, great heel. Very good match. You know, they were pressing for that 10 o'clock hour. Obviously, no overrun for this show now on the CW. And I thought we was cutting it close, but we was able to have a very competitive match. It could have went either way. But ultimately, CM Punk was able to avoid disaster when Trick ran into him, incidentally. And then eventually, we had Trick hit the trick shot on All Ego Ethan Page after he went through the table via the razor's edge to actually regain the NXT championship. As we predicted on this show, that in Chicago, we needed the official Trick Williams coronation as champion in front of a nice big crowd. He got that, got the confetti, even though it was kind of overshadowed with CM Punk dropping All Ego Ethan Page with a GTS in the middle of the ring. As we got our credits, executive producers Paul Levesque, Lee Fitting, and Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, I was waiting on the Family Matters theme song to play at the end, too. Trick getting his moment. Yeah, like we both called it, and this is the moment well deserved. The first moment, you know, a couple hundred people is cool. It was probably real intimate doing it at Full Sail, but there's something about doing it in a packed arena, and that arena was great. And I like the fact that CM Punk didn't overshadow anything. He was in the finish, but didn't play a part in the finish. The match was good, wasn't great, but the match was definitely good enough to be in the main event, and the crowd just elevated everything. You know, for a company that apparently doesn't, you know, push black men, one of the most over people in the entire company is a black man. And I think it was very evident today that the future of that brand will be laid out with and led by a black man. So, you know, just food for thought, just things to throw out there, just to chew on. We know who NXT is for, and I think the people that they have as champions is very telling.
Very much so. Have we forgotten that melanated card for Heatwave? Have we forgotten that card, how melanated that card was?
hey, listen. I haven't forgotten anything. I'm very well aware of it. You know, I know people try to say that it doesn't count, even though it got its own TV deal on a separate networks, even though it's a third brand. But, you know, they just sold out almost 10,000, and they're going to sell it out next week. And listen, you can say what you want, but the video says something else. Roll the tape. Play the tape. Because when you play the tape, you see something different. I saw black and gold excellence standing tall. I saw a black king get his crown at the end of the show. But we're going to talk about all that next week. This was a great show. That was a great debut on the CW. And I'm pumped for next week. I think next week potentially could eclipse it between the Randy match, the tag title match, and the North American title match. You might have a great, you might have something special even next week too.
I think so too. I think week two looks a lot better than week one in terms of what's on the card, and it's melanated. Just want to point that out as well. And we're going to talk about that next week on the show. Now, I will say that I have one big grievance, and I think that you know what I'm going to be talking about next week, about the window of opportunity closing on someone that needs a singles push very soon, because the opportunity is there. It was there over a year ago. You know how I feel about this. We're going to talk about it next week. My boy Montez, that is my one gripe I have, because the window is there to push him. I don't want him getting a championship win at 40. Like, no, he's pushing 40 now. He's in his peak. He's in his prime. Push the man. We're going to talk about it next week, but that's my one Paul Levesque grievance I have with him that is valid. Otherwise, we're going to dive into it next week. Don't you worry about it. But because you mentioned Family Matters, I pulled up the lyrics. I sure did. It's a rare condition this day and age to read any good news on the newspaper page. Love and tradition of the grand design. Some people say it's even harder to find. Well, then there must be some magic clue inside these gentle walls. Because all I see is a tower of dreams, real love bursting out of every seam as days go by.
Yeah.
We're going to fill our house with happiness. The moon may cry. We're going to smother the blues with tenderness. When days go by, there's room for you, room for me, for gentle hearts and opportunity as days go by. It's the bigger love of the family.
That's it.
Yes. Cannot resist. You know, I love the first six seasons of Family Matters before that thing fell off a cliff, season 7 and 8. That thing jumped the shark. Whew. It took a turn.
Ran out of money.
Not only money, they ran out of material.
Ideas.
Like the shark jumpage. As we watched the show, like, oh my God, after like 96, this thing fell off the rails. My God. But before we go, let's stop talking about TGIF. That's random. But let's talk about what's going down at an ungodly hour if you have things to do on a Saturday night. Now, we know that we normally watch our PLEs at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, sometimes early in the afternoon if it's an international show. But WWE says, you know what we're going to do is we're going to make you end your Saturday evening early, and you're going to go home, and you're going to cue up the cock, the peacock, that is.
Pause. Right, I'm going to tell you what I'm not queuing up. I'm going to tell you that. Tell you that. Okay. Ain't no Diddy parties over here, okay?
Oh my gosh, we're not doing that. But we're going to start at this ungodly hour of like 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, 3 Pacific, the middle of the day in L.A., And we're going to try to get out of here before like 9:30. Scott says we will not be doing a live stream. You're going to get it Sunday morning. We're going to record it later for your listening pleasure, because even that's a push for him. And I totally understand that. But let's quickly preview Bad Blood going down in my backyard, Atlanta, Georgia. State Farm Arena. Packed house. Hot tickets on sale. The market's hot for this show. It's going to be very, very fun, I must say. So on tap, we do have Damian Priest versus Finn Balor.
I got Finn Balor. I'm going to take old Finny boy with a little interference from somebody. JD, Carlito, probably both of them. But yeah, I got Finn Balor. He needs this victory more.
I agree. Still going to go with Damian Priest, though. I'm sorry. I'm going to go with Priest. You know, you made a great case. Listen, Chris says Finn Balor winning. So you got two. You got two. Shout out to Chris. You got two on your team here. So it's going to be on the island with me and Priest. It's all good, though. He got the win. But I love, you know, I love me some Finn, though. You know I do. So it's very difficult for me to pick against him. But Damian's also my guy, too. So I'm like torn between two guys who I like a lot. But I'm picking Damian Priest. Will not be mad if Finn gets the W. Next up is Nia Jax versus Bayley for the WWE Women's Championship. Nia Jax, the end.
Yeah, Nia Jax. Annihilator.
Yes. And, you know, after we talked about it, now I'm flip-flopping again, because after Nia Jax choked out Tiffany, how could Tiffany not be the babyface now? How?
I've been told you that. I've been told you that.
No, you said Nia was going to be the babyface, Tiffany was going to be the heel. See, yeah, you forgot your own narrative. Now you're like, I told you so. Like, please stop
it.
You're
right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so my idea is dead, but, I'm here for Tiffy time.
Me too. Tiffy time is coming. Chris is being bold, saying Bailey is going to win. Well, you know, you never know.
If Bailey wins, she's getting cashed in on
immediately
after a Naomi turn.
Ooh, I still sense that too. Regardless of how Naomi was smiling backstage on Friday. Now Chris says Naomi helps. Now, she did say, if I help you win, you owe me a title shot.
Okay. Now there's something to that. Okay. All right, Chris.
Chris kind of cooking. Right. That would still lead to a heel turn if Naomi loses. So.
All right. You on to something?
He's cooking a little bit. He's cooking. Yeah.
Nice.
I like how he's playing every option on the board. I do. Next up is Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley, with Dirty Dominic Mysterio suspended high above the ring in a shark cage. Who you got?
I've been saying this for a couple weeks now, if not longer, but I got Liv Morgan with a returning Raquel. I think she is the equalizer with Dom being hung up in a shark cage.
Yes, I agree with you. I have felt that Raquel's return has been long overdue. I hope that she's healthy first and foremost. And if she's able to come back, let's bring her back as the new mommy for Judgment Day. I'm here for that. And it gives Liv another out to remain champion long term. Her and Rhea can put a pause on things as Rhea goes after Raquel for a bit. I'm here for that. So I sense a retention by Liv Morgan, and I expect Rhea and Liv to deliver as they always do. They have great matches together, and I expect nothing less, despite Dominic Mysterio getting flashbacks being locked up in that shark cage.
I don't think this match is going to be that great. I think it'll be overbooked. People are going to be more concerned about what Dominic's doing in the top of the cage. So hopefully it's not too long. It's more of just a quick sprint and get to the end. But I'm not expecting much from this.
Yes, and Chris agrees with us. So it's 3-for-3 with Raquel Rodriguez coming back to cause a little trouble on behalf of Liv. I'm here for that as well. Now it's time for what we believe to be what possibly could be the semi-main, the opener or the closer. We shall see how they go. But I'm going to go and just say we got the Mega Powers 2.0 the WWE Undisputed Champ, Cody Rhodes, versus the Bloodline, Jacob Fatu, and Solo Sikoa, the Bootleg Tribal Chief, as he teams up with the Tribal Chief, the OTC, Roman Reigns. Will they coexist, Perks?
Perks. Yeah, I think Hobbs and Shaw will coexist pretty well.
Oh, my God.
And not only that, I think they'll do pretty well against the head shrinkers. So, I think we're in a good spot. And I'm going with Hobbs and Shaw.
Not Hobbs and Shaw. Now, because you've done this, I have to like rebuke you and say the proper name. You know who they should be?
Who is it?
Calvin and Hobbs.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Like Cody's not the blonde Calvin, and like Roman can still be Hobbs, whether he's a fucking tiger or like the tribal chief. Come on.
Yeah, shoot that. It's fine. Calvin and Hobbs is fine. But Hobbs is definitely in it, though.
Yes, Hobbs. Hobbs is there, regardless, tiger or person, he is there. But Cody is a Calvin. Okay, he is not like Shaw. He is a Calvin. Blonde hair. I cannot refute that. On period. I can't let you just get away and not call them a Calvin.
Oh man, that's great. But yeah, it looks like on it. Chris, you're right. So, Keila, what are you going with, the main event or the opening match? I'm gonna say opener.
I'm gonna say, because the crowd's gonna be the hottest, they should open the show, set the tone for the main event. Will that be the order? I don't know, but to me, set the tone, let that be the opener. And I think that the other matches will come through. They won't be let down. You know, set the tempo high. It's a 6 o'clock PM start time. Start hot.
And end in hell.
Exactly. I love that segue, partner. As we get to our main event, as we think it should be, in hell, mm-hmm. in a cell, CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre. CM Punk, man, he vowed to put this man in a pine box on his way back to Scotland. That will not be happening because that's like murder. But I still think that CM Punk gets the W, wraps up the feud, and he is going to submit himself as the heel against Seth Rollins heading into WrestleMania season. And as you said, Drew might pivot to being a babyface.
Yes, and I think Drew would be a nice foe for Gunther in the meantime. I think that's a good Royal Rumble title match, especially if you're not going to have Drew in the Royal Rumble. Ilya's not going to be around. I think he would have been a good Royal Rumble title match. But yeah, I got Punk too, and I got him giving Drew a Pepsi plunge for the win. Maybe not for the win, but a Pepsi plunge is definitely happening in this match. I think they pull out all the stops. We see a bunch of stuff we don't normally see. I think what you said earlier, this needs to be the best match in the feud. And I think we get that. I don't know if we get the 5-star classic, but I think we get a really great match. And I think they ended on a high note. And both guys are going to bleed. And I think the crowd will be with it. CM Punk gets a huge victory.
I agree. I do expect this match to be one of the better WWE matches of the year. Like, both guys are like going to unleash and just do the absolute most. I expect blood, violence, crazy stuff. Now, we have to think about what we saw at All Out with Swerve and Hangman Page. That was venom and hate on a level we rarely see in professional wrestling. And I do wonder how far we're going to take it. It's called bad blood, Scott. You got to take a little far. Maybe you can nail Drew to something. You know, perhaps.
You're talking about crucifying that man. trying to turn this into the Passion of the Christ. Nah, we not getting Swerve Hangman. You're not getting that. Punk physically is not going to be able to replicate that level of violence. I just And I don't think they want to risk putting him through that. My bigger question is, what comes next? You know, we talked about, you know, Gunther, we expect to win next. We both probably expect him to beat Sami Zayn next week. CM Punk, I mean, you win a Hell in a Cell versus Drew McIntyre. You 100% should be in line for the world title. That's a Survivor Series type match. I think that's where he won his last WWE title, or one of, I know that, well, not his last one, but I know that's where he won his one after he turned babyface the first time in Madison Square Garden, tapping out Alberto Del Rio. So does he go after Gunther at Survivor Series for that title after he beats Drew McIntyre?
That was his goal after SummerSlam. Well, after, let me go back in time. It was after the Bash in Berlin that he thought, okay, I got next. And then Drew says, no, you don't. I got next. So I do sense that was the direction heading into Survivor Series. And it's going to be interesting to see how Triple H plays it, because you got Bron Breakker, you got CM Punk, you got Seth in the peripheral too. I'm intrigued by this. I don't think the CM Punk is winning a championship right now at this moment, but probably sometime next year, but we'll see. I think that WWE has a clear path towards WrestleMania. Will it require a championship for Seth and CM Punk? I don't know, but I am intrigued by how they're going to get there heading into next year. And Chris says, my heart says Drew McIntyre wins, but my mind says CM Punk. And you know what? You're probably right.
Yeah, but all right. I was just curious. Yeah, CM Punk. I think he's in for a big year for what he missed out on last year, and beating Drew McIntyre is a first step to getting on that path.
Yeah, and I'm with Chris too. Like, my heart wants Sami Zayn, but it's gonna be Gunther. You know, it's gonna be a great match on Monday for sure. Those guys always go out there and put on a great match, and I expect nothing less. And it's gonna be great. Give them time. Give them limited commercials as a world championship match. Damn it. Give them some time to cook. But Gunther will ultimately win, and we'll see how it sets up the rest of the year for WWE. And that is it for our Bad Blood preview, as we are getting ready for that Saturday PLE going down live from Atlanta, Georgia at the State Farm Arena this Saturday at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific time, 5 Central, 4 in the mountains. Only on Peacock. So we're going to be looking forward to that. And we're going to be talking about it Sunday morning right here on the Fight Game Media Network, because, you know, Scott ain't going to be up that early watching Bad Blood.
Mm-mm. No, I got kids. I'll be outside playing. So I'll be watching that on repeat.
Doing the Heath Slater living, because I got kids, and Chris does point out, like, Raw is only 2 hours next Monday. Yes, we're getting used to that new schedule, that free extra hour. What will we do with ourselves? I'll be watching Monday Night Football and getting to work earlier by going to bed earlier.
I'm gonna play 2K.
Oh my gosh. Hey, speaking of which, let's do some bonus NBA talk very quickly for the people before we go. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on Cat Carl Anthony Towns being traded to the New York Knicks?
Everybody talking about Cat. I think we need to be talking about Julius Randle going to the Minnesota Timberwolves. What you have right there is two dogs. You got two pit bulls who together as a tandem, like, that's nasty work. Because you got two people who are going to go after it, who are going to get in your face, laugh at you when they knock you down, put the hand out to help you up, and when they start to pull you up, let you drop back down. And the other bigger one is going to walk behind you and beg you to do something about it. That's the type of team you got. Then you got a pissed off Frenchman who's 7'3", and I promise you he's going to lay somebody out this year. I promise you somebody's going to go through the lane and he is just going to Draymond Green them on the ground and be like, y'all keep calling me soft if you want to. Wee-wee this, wee-wee that, you wee-wee on the ground. So I'm just letting you know that dog you just – and Dante is a dog too. Like, Minnesota got a lot better. And they still have Naz Reid. Mm-hmm. They still got Nikola Walker. Like, Cat to New York is a great, that's a great addition, great fit. They still got Mitchell Robinson. Cat can play the four and the five. You got a lot to work with. You can go small with Josh Hart playing the four, OG, Mikal. Like, you got a lot. You could do a lot of offense now in a defensive-oriented team with Tibbs coaching, who's going to play guys 40 minutes. But on that Minnesota side, man, I love the Julius Randle addition to them. I think him and Ant-Man are going to work great together.
Yeah, and it's like something that is going to be magical, because Julius is going to basically get Ant ready for like that next level. Like, you're going to be where I am, but even better in like 5 years by the grind of it all, and how they're going to just be just great together. They definitely won in this trade. Cat will be fine. You know, the NBA says, you know what? We don't want the Villanova Knicks. We're going to bust that up right now. DiVincenzo, you go over to Minnesota, dude. We're good here. But I think the Knicks will still be fine. Cat will not have all this pressure on him to do the job, because you got Jalen Brunson.
That's not true. Right, he's going to have more pressure. He in New York. He got way more pressure.
New Yorkers. We know. Yeah. Bright lights, MSG. But I do think, because you got a Jalen Brunson there, you're not going to be forced to put up 60 and lose still. Like, the load of you putting up the points is going to be reduced.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And the reason, like, and to that point, he's being brought in to ease the load off of Brunson.
Exactly. Because he was putting up crazy numbers during the playoffs. Yeah, and well,
Mikal Bridges too. Like,
yes.
The point of those two coming in is so Brunson can get his 25, but him getting his 25 is, you know, I'm going to get 12 here in the first quarter. I'm going to get 10, you know, 8 here in his third quarter. And then I'm going to get the 6 I need to get here in the fourth quarter. Mikal can go get his whenever. Cat can go get his whenever. The pick and pop is going to be crazy between those two, because you can't, what are you going to do? And then especially if they have him at the four and you still got Mitchell Robinson down there at the five, him coming back healthy, it's a lot of options right there. So the Hartenstein loss makes more sense when you talk about how much they've been, how long they've been trying to bring Cat in. So it works out for both teams, but I'm really like the dog that Minnesota got. I that's the team to look out. I think they're a favorite. To me, that's the favorite in the West. Them and they, to me, that puts them over the top. People look at me like I'm crazy, but Julius Randle and Ant is going to be a problem.
Yes, I agree. It's going to be fun. We're going to be chopping it up and, you know, doing our disses soon, imminently. I'm here for it. So I'm buckling up and getting ready for the season to come for the NBA. Next month. Well, this month, I should say, because we already got our pressers going down already before the preseason starts. So we're excited. Chris got one more thing to say. He says, if Nia wins, Tiffany Stratton cashes in her briefcase. Barbie briefcase goes by.
Not yet, but it's coming.
Yeah, it's coming. Tiffany's face turn era is coming. I'm here for that after Scott reneged. So there's that. There's footage. There's footage and there's audio of you saying Nia was going to be the baby face. And I agree with you. Like, see, this is you and I. We have this relationship where you lead me in the water. I dip in. I know when to dip out. And then you just wait and you take your time and then you circle back and then you forget what you said. Like, yeah, that time you left me stranded talking about, yeah, Damian going to win the championship or something. And then Gunther is going to win in Berlin. And he said, actually, one of the coldest swerves I ever went through on this show left me out on a limb like Tina Marie, the audacity of you.
I had to get you to raise the bets up so I could go and bet on the other side and get a higher win.
God, you were sick for that. One of the coldest moments in this show's history when you left me hanging. Here I am. Go Damian. Scott says, yeah, well, about that, Gunther's got it. Like, whatever. But okay. And with that, this wraps up a very fun live edition of The Wrap right here on the Fike Media Network on YouTube. Thanks for the live interaction, Chris and Kevin, coming through, interacting with us. We really appreciate it. Even into the midnight hour, we start a little later because of technology not wanting to be great, but thank you for hanging out with us tonight. A lot of fun. I want to thank my co-captain, the Perks, perky Scott Young coming through as always to discuss all things WWE.
The perks. Yeah, I can't wait for Death Rebel to make a theme song based on the percolator. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. This is a great opening night for the CW debut for NXT. And I'm excited about next week. I think next week's show is going to be even better.
I think so as well. We'll be back recorded style on delay Wednesday morning for your listening pleasure, because we're going to move the schedule around a little bit because NXT is like the show that we talk about last, and why wait a week between reviews? So let's knock it out on Wednesday. Talk about Monday Night Raw, still fresh, and Friday Night SmackDown too, still relevant. So we're just trying to make things a little bit tighter for your listening pleasure moving forward. But we will be back on Sunday morning recapping Bad Blood going down in the A, because Scott says, I got kids and I'm outside. So he's going to watch the show a little later, and then we'll reconvene and talk about it together. And Chris also notes it is Super Tuesday because Dynamite is running head to head against NXT. That is a good point.
Yeah, I bet you there'll be more black people on NXT. I'm looking forward to next week. Chris, shout out to you for hanging out with us in the chat. And I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, that should be a lot of fun. I forgot. Head-to-head, the Tuesday Night War that goes down at least once a year. It's going to be fun. But before we go, actually, Scott, because you normally do what you do in this last portion of the show, tell us, for Chris and for our dear viewers out there who are still watching, because you tend to drop bombs at the end of every episode, realistically, but of course you're not going to be realistic, what is your match of the week? And I'll go.
My match of the week is between Tony Khan and his father for who has the biggest liar, as far as them saying they have the greatest collection of talent every time they have talent. That's what his dad just said about the Jacksonville Jaguars. So now we see where he gets it from. They do have a great collection of talent, but Tony Khan also said that 4 years ago when they first started. So I'm just saying, I see where he gets it from. But my real match of the week, I'm giving it to the ladies, man. I told you I loved Julia and Roxanne. The grappling, the strikes, I thought it was a really, really strong match.
Thought it was good. I'm going to give it to Melo and Andrade, part six. Loved the match. Loved it. Thought it was on point. Even the finish aside, I was vibing with it. So we'll see how match seven goes. And we'll be back on Sunday morning talking about the highs and lows of Bad Blood going down live in the A from the State Farm Arena. So for myself and for Perky Perk Scott Young, the scout himself with all the nicknames, it's been fun, guys. We're going to put a bow on it. We'll see you on Sunday on the podcast, Fight Game Media. So until then, enjoy the rest of the week for WWE. And take care, and bye-bye.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.